This morning, before I start, last week we were talking about money. And you all weren't, many of you weren't here. Whew, you missed that one. But I did get a bit of a challenge, and I said, you know, maybe this week what you would do is you would just pray and ask God, what would you want me to do outside of what I normally do? And I'm wondering, is there any stories? Did anybody give away some money or give anything away? Yes?
Yes. You challenged me last week with my Tim Hortons. I have a $20 Tim Hortons card. I did not drink Tim Hortons all week.
Yes?
I'm going to give it
away. All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right, you're taking bids on this. No. Yeah, and I won't need it for Africa. That's great. Hey, Vince, you do anything today? You give anything away this week? Oh, isn't it great when God is part of coincidences? I love it. Anybody else? Yes, Kathy.
My brother was given 45 generators from a friend in Germany to donate to the people that he is serving in Ukraine. And all he had to do is come up with $1,000 for the driver to bring it. And so I was able to send him some money towards that. And if anybody else wants to help, we still need help. But they're going to give them to him, and he's going to take them up to the front line where all the civilians are that need those generators.
That's fantastic. So generators going to Ukraine. That's wonderful. Anyone else have a story or two? No? Well, we're continuing on with our last message on generosity. And as I talk about generosity today, I want to talk about generosity in relationship to being content. So the verses that were read in NIV, Paul, he says, I have learned the secret of being content. And I think that today that is probably very appropriate for us because there is, I think, a lot of anxiety in our world today. We know that there is a generation, some of you Gen Zs, you might be known as, what are you known as? The anxious generation. Yeah. Laziest? No, the laziest were the millennials. Okay, yeah. I know. And they're gone. How do you get the millennials out? I'm sorry. We love you. I love you. That's all right. There's a lot of work. My generation just thinks we know it all and we're the best generation. Yeah, but don't you kind of feel, though, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're whatever generation. I think in our society and our culture today, there is a lot of anxiety that is around us. The uncertainty of whether we're going to have 25% tariffs. And what does that mean if we do? I was talking to my son. He works in a plywood mill. And I said, so what does that mean for you? Oh, I think I'll have a job. And so there's that uncertainty that is there. But there's all kinds of uncertainty as well. Or we are probably in a time in our life where we are bombarded with advertisement after advertisement after advertisement more than we ever had. Because in the past, if you wanted an advertisement, you might see it on a billboard, you might open it up in a newspaper, you might, if you're watching TV, you would see it on TV. But now every time you grab this thing and you open it up, and even if you're searching for something, you will oftentimes get an ad. I mean, we're constantly bombarded with ads. And it tells us, the ads tell us, what do they tell us? You need it. You need it. And if you don't have it, maybe you're missing out. And so we've got this real great thing of FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. But we actually need to have JOMO, which is the joy of missing out. But we're stuck in FOMO. We're stuck in the fear of missing out. We're going to miss out on something. And I'm fearful of that. And that causes this anxiety, or it also causes us not to be content, that we need to have more. So with that, we find places or we find experiences where maybe we are feeling content. So I have a few of them here. Maybe you would feel most content if you're up on this side of things here, you know, and you're just on the beach and resting there. Maybe contentment is this one here, you know, you're jumping off a cliff into the water. Maybe that's where you find contentment, in the adventure. Yeah, a few heads there. Maybe contentment is that just having, surrounding a bunch of puppies and just licking you, and that's, but then is that not contentment right there? I mean, that right there, I could just, yeah. I mean, don't you just love holding Andrew? There's something about this little, or your little girl there, just holding a baby and just the contentment that is, now they're not always content, you know. They cry. And when they do smile, because when my kids smiled at me and I told Raina that they were smiling at me, she says, no, they just have gas. So, is that contentment? Or is this contentment? A nice hike. Yeah, you know, just going on a nice hike, an adventure that way. Or is contentment just sitting there with a cup of coffee, your feet up, out the window? Is that when we find contentment? So how do we define contentment? And what does that really mean for us? So I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about contentment in relationship to God's generosity. So you ready to go on an adventure with me with that? All right, let's see how we can do here. So what is contentment? I think contentment is lasting contentment is birthed from having a quiet confidence in our Heavenly Father's supply in every condition. That's where I want to go. I want to point us to the direction of having this lasting contentment that is birthed from having a quiet confidence in our Heavenly Father's supply in every condition. Because I think that's what Paul is talking about there. When he says, I have learned to be content when I have lots and when I don't have very much at all. So what does that look like and how does this unfold? So let's back up here. So if you have your Bibles and you turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to kind of park ourselves there a little bit and look at it. Philippians is one of my favorite books that Paul has written. It is so challenging to the walk, our walk with Jesus. And Paul begins by expressing to them that he's rejoicing in the Lord. At last, you renewed their concern for me. And what has happened is that a group of Christians have come from Philippi, and they have given him a gift. They've given him a monetary gift, a financial gift. And Paul is just saying, thank you. I appreciate that. But he wants them to know something. He wants them to know that he is not living or waiting for, or his world doesn't exist around the fact that they have given him a gift. He just says, hey, thank you. It is encouraging that you have given me a gift. That I'm in prison here, you've thought about me, and you thought maybe we should send something along to help you. So he begins by expressing thank you for that. But then he launches in, and he says, I have learned a secret. And the secret is how to be content in all circumstances. So this word content is this Greek word up here. I practice saying it, but I'm not going to do it. And it's this Greek word that Paul uses is only used once in the whole New Testament. It's the only time it's used. this Greek word right here. So when that happens, you kind of go, that's interesting. Like, why did he choose this word to talk about contentment? And why was he the only one that used this word? So this word that he is using, it's words together. It's auto, which is self, and archeo, which is sufficient. And so he is saying self-sufficient. Like, you go, wait a minute here. Like, isn't God all-sufficient? Isn't he the one that's all-sufficient? Yes, God is the one who is all-sufficient. And so Paul is saying, I have learned the secret of this contentment, of this self-sufficient. I've learned the secret of it. So the question I think that we should ask is, what is he meaning if God is all-sufficient, but we're not all-sufficient? We know that, right? Right? You know that, right? You're not all-sufficient. Are you with me? Have I lost you already? Okay, I haven't. Good. So you're not all-sufficient. You are lacking. You have needs. You have desires. You have fears. You have anxiety. You have worry. So we lack something, but Paul is saying that, no, I have found the secret of what it looks like to be content. So what is Paul saying here? Well, I think that what he is talking about is that he is not finding a self-sufficiency in himself, but he is saying that he has found contentment that comes from Christ. So that's why if you look right down to the last verse, he actually brings it together when he says, I can do all things through him, which is Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. So his contentment is not in himself, but his contentment is found in Christ that is in him. I came across this by author, teacher, Jeremy Burroughs, and he writes this. He says, he kind of rewrites what Paul is saying. Therefore, his meaning must be, I find a sufficiency of satisfaction in my own heart through the grace of Christ that is in me. Though I have no outward comforts or worldly conveniences to supply my necessities, yet I have a sufficient portion between Christ and my soul abundantly to satisfy me in every condition. Does that make sense? And that's what he is saying. And this becomes the heart of where we find our contentment that is there. So if I was going to define it, I think Jeremy, I couldn't do any better job than what Jeremy has done. He says, Christian contentment is that sweet, inner, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Sit with that for a minute. I really like that line there. He says, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. My inner being longs for that. It just longs for that. And I think our world is longing for this. Something that is sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. Our world is longing for it. But I don't think we know where to go and find it. So what is this wisdom? What is that God's disposal that he has for us? That he wants to meet what is in the inner part of us that's longing to be satisfied. What is it? Everything. Everything is at his disposal. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is at his disposal. Every good and perfect gift is at his disposal. A peace that surpasses all comprehension is at his disposal. A love so amazing that we can't write enough songs about it and we can't write enough books about it So we just keep doing it. And that is what is at his disposal for you. He delights in you. God delights in you, his creation. And God says, I want to give you what you are lacking. So this contentment that is sweet, inward, quiet, gracious, frame of spirit does not come from stuff. That's what Paul's saying. My contentment isn't because I have lots of things. He says, I have had abundant. I have been able to go, and if I needed something, I had the money to do it. If I needed to go somewhere, I had the strength to do it. If I needed anything I needed, I have been there. And he says, but I know that that's not where my contentment comes from. Jim Carrey has said this. If you've been watching the Alpha, we've been doing Alpha, and they quote this. This is so good. It says, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer. So this part of wanting and driving and striving for this contentment because I have what I can get, what I need, what I'm lacking, that the world says I need, if I can just get that, I will be content. And Paul says, no. And Jim Carrey says, You know this about Jim Carrey? I don't know if you know this. But before he left Canada and he went down to Hollywood, he wrote himself a check for $1 million. And he put a date on it. And he put it in his wallet. And he carried that check around, believing that at that certain date, he'd be able to write himself a check for $1 million. You know what? He was able to pull that check out, and if he wanted to, he could have cashed it for $1 million. The guy got what he wanted. I mean, that's how determined he was to make money. And that's this same guy has this quote here. It's not the answer. And Paul has said that. It's not the answer. Stuff is not the answer. Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So Paul also says this, I have known contentment when I have a lot. I've known contentment when I don't have anything. Paul doesn't sit in despair of what he does not have. He doesn't covet what somebody else has. But he says, when I don't have a lot, I know what it means to be content. Sometimes that is the hardest. Is when I don't have something and I feel I need something, how can I be content here? And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Again, contentment is not found in myself, but it is found in Christ. I find it kind of curious that most often when I begin to look to the world for satisfaction, I find that what I have is not satisfying enough. So if I begin to look at my bank account thinking I need more, you know, it's never enough. I look at my house and it's not big enough or it's not modern enough. My car is too old. My clothes are too not cool enough. Although I do have pretty cool shoes. My body is too fat. See, when I start to try to look at the world to have it satisfy me, it's not going to be there. It's not enough. So my contentment isn't what I have or don't have. I found contentment in every situation. So how does this generosity of God fit into my message today? How does it fit into contentment? And I hope that I will be able to bring us to understanding that a little bit more, but the generosity of God is constant and living. See, when we can look to the generosity of God, when we can believe that he is all sufficient, not me, but him, that the love I need, I can get everything I need from him. It is constant, it is living, it's not going to die. His generosity cannot be exhausted. His generosity does not get old or stale. His generosity is new every morning. And our souls long for this type of generosity. It longs for this sweet, inner, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. And when we look to the world, we will never have enough. When I look at what I have, it gets old. Any of you buy a new car? Anybody's ever bought a new car before? Come on, you can admit it. I've bought a new car. And you know, you get that new car, and it's that new car smell when you get into it. And maybe you've never bought one, but you've maybe been in somebody's car that's new, and it has that new car smell. And you get in, and there's not a scratch on that vehicle. And it's got all the bells and whistles that you could possibly have. All the gadgets are there. It's just, it's wonderful. It's great. And it's so exciting to get into this car and to drive it off the lot. You're putting the first kilometers on this car. It is so good. But what happens? 3, 4, 5 years later, that new car no longer smells like a new car. It now has scratches in it. The seats are not as pristine as they used to be. It has a few more rattles than it once had. Some of the gadgets don't even work anymore. And what do you feel like you need? A new car. Yeah, I not drive anything new, and as I drive my car, and there are days I get in, I think, man, I think I need a new car. But then I think, this car used to be new. Somebody drove it off the lot. One day you're going to drive a car. It's going to be exciting. And maybe one day you'll get a new car, and it'll be exciting, but that new car is going to get old. And that's kind of the cycle that we work on, is that we just need something new, something new, something new. And it isn't sweet, and it isn't inward, and it isn't quiet, and it isn't a gracious spirit. Turn to Jeremiah, because I think that Jeremiah speaks, actually God speaks in Jeremiah chapter 2. And he speaks in there to Jeremiah about drinking from the wrong source. Drinking from the wrong source. So Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now I'm going to put it up here in the message. And so I think Eugene Peterson has done a great job of doing a paraphrase of this. So here we go. Stand in shock, heaven, at what you see. Throw up your hands in disbelief. This can't be, God decrees. My people have committed a compound sin. They have walked out on me, the fountain of fresh flowing water, and they have dug cisterns, cisterns that leak, cisterns that are no better than sieves. Where's Dad? That's how I feel sometimes. Stand up in shock, heaven, at what you see. The picture God wants us to see is his people are not believing that he can supply them with everything they need. He is a generous God, and his wells are wells of beautiful spring water. I had a summer job of bucking hay. And I'm not a very big guy, as you can see, but I would do the best I can, and which means that most of the time when I was throwing those hay bales up, that the hay was just coming, just covering me, right? And I would just muscle them up there and throw them up and kind of competition with my fellow workers with it. And I felt like I had something to prove, which is kind of crazy. But anyways, we would work on a hot summer day because, you know, you got to bale hay when it's hot and you got to pick it up when it's dry, so it's also hot. And so everything you did was hot. And I remember that this one particular day, I didn't bring enough water, and I had exhausted my water, and I started to kind of not do good in this. And I started to faint, and my boss, Lloyd, he saw this, and we just happened to be close to the farm, and so he says, we're all taking a break, and so we go to the farm, and he says, you need to cool off, Scott. And he told me the way that I needed to cool off was before I took a drink, I needed to take that water and let it run, and then I needed to let it run over my hands here and on my neck and cool yourself down. And I remember just being so hot with hay just covering me and just taking that hose and starting to cool off with that nice spring cold water. It was so beautiful. It was so refreshing. By the time that I started to drink, I did. I felt like my temperature just was down. And when I look at this passage and I look at this and I think about this fountain of fresh flowing water, that is the picture that God wants us to have of Him. Of His generosity is ever flowing. It never stops. It is abundant, overflowing. But the problem is that we are drinking from the wrong cistern. And we go to the world, and we try to have the world fulfill the needs that we have. The needs for relationship, the needs for feeling secure. The needs to deal with our anxiety. And God says, I am here to fill you with everything you need. The secret of contentment is found in the fountain of fresh flowing water. That's where the secret of contentment is. Generosity is the fuel of our contentment. When I believe that God is incredibly generous, I truly believe that He's incredibly generous, that I am content in Him because He's everything I need. He's everything I need. I was talking to my son, and we were talking a little bit about the instability that we're feeling about here in Canada. And as I was talking with him, I said, you know, maybe things are going to change. Maybe the life that I've grown up with that has been so abundant and so secure, that it's going to change. But God isn't. And that's my rock. That's my security. That, His generosity, it is a fountain that can never run out, is where it fuels my contentment. So how do I not drink from broken cisterns, instead enjoy the sweet, inner, quiet, gracious frame of spirit, which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal of every condition? It's that word submit, that I'm willing to submit myself to Him and all that He has, even if what I have on this earth isn't very much. Long-lasting contentment is birthed from having a quiet confidence in our Heavenly Father's supply of every condition. And so what keeps us from it is our broken cisterns. So I want to talk about some of those broken cisterns that we can find ourselves in. And this is where I'm going to close. And here's just a couple of them. Anxiety, addiction, control. You can put fear in there. You can put greed in there. These things are the broken cisterns that we will go to in our lives. And we can get caught in that. And we could be consumed by it. Anxiety is real. And anxiety is something that there are times that I need help with outside of myself. God wants us to go get counseling. So being anxious is not simply, okay, I just go to God, I'm not going to be anxious anymore. No, there are some times we need help with that. So as I talk about this, please understand that I'm not telling you, well, listen, a Christian should never be anxious, and they should never be on medication, they should never go to counseling. No, all of that is true. I'm going to Africa. Do you think that I am not anxious about that? I am. I have some anxiety about that. What do I do? What do I do with it? So here's what I'd say is what I need to do is I need to admit. So I may need to admit that actually I have an issue of control. I want to control every situation. I want to control the people around me. I don't like it when things feel like they're out of control. I need to admit that. And then I need to identify, why is that? Why do I feel like I need to control? What is it that's causing me to want to be in control that actually is causing me then not to be content in Christ? Or what is it that is causing my addiction? I'm addicted. I'm addicted to my phone. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm addicted to work. What is it about that? And I need to identify that. And then I need to repent. That is a cool word. Repent is a cool word. Matter of fact, I almost want you all to say it. Repent. It's okay. We can say it. It's not a bad word. Matter of fact, it's not even a four-letter word. It's a good word. Repentance brings us freedom. It does. God loves it. It's good for us. And then I need to seek. I need to seek healing. I need to seek healing. In some ways, it is healing by being accountable. Some ways, it's healing by going and getting counseling and getting help that way. I need to seek healing. Because sometimes a lot of these things, especially with addiction, you've created something in your brain that meanders around and cuts a deep channel to where every thought and attention flows into it. And we need to have help with changing the way we think. That's why Paul says, by the renewing of your mind. That's how we're transformed, the renewing of our mind, changing the way that our thought patterns, changing that. And that comes to my last one, memorization. I believe that God's word is living and active. I believe it is powerful. I believe that it changes our lives. If I am one who finds myself wanting to be in control all the time, a great verse to memorize is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, your own control. Now I got to start over again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And what does he do? Yeah, he'll show you the way to go. He'll show you the way to go. All right, so that's really, back up here. I just want to say, spiritual practice. I've got sheets out there if you want to grab them. It has this information. It has some questions to ask you. It has these five things on there. Admit, identify, repent, seek, and memorize. And I've got four areas that you might want to do, and I got four different verses you can memorize, but you can come up with your own, whatever it is. This is no good if all we do is sit here and go, yeah, okay, I get that. We got to practice it. For me to be content, I got to find the areas where I'm not content. I identify them. I admit it. I identify or I repent. I seek and I memorize. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that contentment is found in you. Lord, you are the living spring. You are the fountain. that never ends. Lord, forgive us where we have dug our own wells, wells that are not fresh, wells that leak and never satisfy. And Father, that we would find ourselves being honest before you of where I am not content, and then just surrendering to you, Lord. And then believing, God, that you will fill us in that area, that you are sufficient enough for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.